Welcome to the Six Figure Shift Show, where real business owners share their journeys to scaling smarter, earning more, and shifting into their next level of success. I'm your host, Debbie Longo, Executive Behavioral Coach. And on this show, we explore what it really takes to make the shift through mindset, strategy, and behavior. Tune in for real stories, real shifts, and real results. On today's episode, we're joined by Lisa Reed, founder of Get Speaking Gig. She's a mentor and entrepreneur who wants to grow her business using public speaking as a strategic marketing tool. After building her own six-figure business, she helps others create customized, sustainable systems to stay booked as speakers. We'll talk about the moment she pivoted into this niche, the power of having a talk ready to rock, and a number one secret to consistent speaking referrals. If you've ever thought about using a microphone to grow your message and your income, you won't want to miss this. Good evening, Lisa. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Debbie. Thanks for having me.
Is there anything you would like to add to that intro?
I don't think so.
I have a few questions here. There's four sections and two questions for each section. The first section is foundation and purpose. What made you realize that public speaking could be more than a platform? It could be a business.
I started a network for speakers, which is now called the International Speaker Network, because I was running into other entrepreneurs who were using speaking to grow their business. I was doing that as well. I just was doing it for another company. And what I wasn't expecting was the members of the group I created were asking me for help for speaking. But I realized after the 77th person asked me for help, I thought there's something here. Clearly, there's something I'm doing that other people don't know how to do or are struggling with it. That's when I finally decided to start my company, Get Speaking Gigs Now. I had a lot of experience being an entrepreneur and business owner and things like that, but this was the one that finally felt aligned with all the gifts that I was bringing to the table. I think all the other entrepreneurial attempts, they helped me be ready for this one.
Next question. You started getting speaking gigs now after people kept asking for help. What finally pushed you to turn that into a formal offer?
I was on the phone with one of the members of our network, and he said to me, people would recommend you should have a speaking coaching business. You should do this. So when he finally asked me, and I said, I don't have one, we finished our conversation. That moment after our call was come to Jesus moment. I went home that night. I Google searched the name of the company and I wanted getspeakinggigs.com, but it was taken. So I said, I'll take Get Speaking Gigs Now instead. Within a week, I had a webinar on my website. I had a website complete, workable. And I went to my first networking of, I stood up for maybe 30 seconds and said what I did. There was a gentleman running after me in the parking lot, not in a scary way, in a good way. And he said, I need your help. How much do you charge? And I didn't even have a business card at that point. So it was pretty instant feedback that what I was helping people with was needed.
There's this statistic, and it's 5 billion people listen to podcasts. And that's one of the reasons why I'm doing podcasts. I have all different people on from different industries. It's very similar to how my business started, because I'm a life coach, and then I have a division of executive behavioral coach, which is the same company. I went into that for a few different reasons, and it was something that I was told to do, and I wasn't sure at the time, but I put it together. And after that, it made sense. So the next question is growth and milestone. Hitting six figures is a huge milestone. What do you believe made the biggest difference in getting there?
I was balancing still working for that company that I was speaking on their behalf and starting my own business. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It allowed me to build at a slow pace without stress of having to replace an income right away. It also allowed me to try a bunch of different things and grow it and figure out what my content was going to be and what my offers were going to be. But there was a point where I started to turn business away or notice there was no longer room for both. Luckily, the company I worked with had a really open relationship and they were going through some changes as well. So I said, we consciously uncoupled because we talked through what was going to happen and what we both needed. And it happened to work out that we both were ready to part ways in a really supportive manner. And once I let go of that trapeze, like when you go from one trapeze to the next, there's a point where you're not holding on to anything. You have to actually let go this trapeze to catch this other one. All of a sudden, I was easily able to replace my income from that other another job, and then grow each year and year until we hit the six-figure mark, which was really exciting. When we look back on our past behavior, sometimes we forget what we can rely on. I call myself, what I know about Lisa is that she booked 83 speaking engagements in her first year when she didn't even know what she was doing. So probably she's going to be okay going out on her own after she's been doing this for several years and built up a Rolodex and built up all these skills and invested in herself. And what else do I know about her? She's really consistent. She's really determined. She's friendly. She's great at relationships. She's got tons of sales training. So there's all these things. It's easy for us to go down the self-doubt trail. But when you really look back at yourself and go, what do I know about how I show up? We were talking about behaviors. There's certain things that you can start to count on. And I was able to do that.
What's one mindset shift or action that took your business from referral-based to referral engine?
For example, when I first started, I was speaking on behalf of another company. So I wasn't speaking about speaking. And I was relying on direct referrals, maybe from the organization or just people I met out networking or people I was meeting out speaking, but I wasn't really representing my business. So when I was able to let go and full-time speaking for my own business is when it all started to grow a lot quicker, because then I was actually speaking about what I wanted to speak about and representing my company in a way that I didn't have any reins on myself in terms of who I was representing. It was like, this is the boat I'm in. And that really made a huge difference. I always have a consistent lead flow. I always am meeting really interesting people, referral partners. I'm having my calendar full of appointments of people wanting to work with me or inquiring about working with me. And that's been consistent for years. If you like teaching, it's a way to enjoy what you're doing. We have to do marketing and sales. You might as well enjoy it. So if you like teaching, I think speaking is probably one of the funnest things you can do to bring in clients.
I've done public speaking many times. We used to do public speaking in Borders bookstore and lectures and workshops with my spiritual teacher. And she taught me all these things. And that turned into part of the career that I had. But now I'm on a different path. And I discovered podcasts because we did everything in person. But now I can help anybody anywhere in the world as long as they speak English. I even have a translator. The idea is the exposure that I get just from any type of video conferencing was unbelievable because all they need an internet connection. My question is, what is your definition of a referral? So you say referral-based or referral engine. How do you consider a referral or going about getting one in your industry?
Great question. I don't know if I would say I have an exact definition for it, but for me, referrals come from people who've either gone through my program or know me pretty well in terms of professional relationship. They might have a client who is going to need what I offer. And so when they're ready, they can make that introduction. So those are the most common types of referrals that I would get in terms of client referrals. For example, the International Speaker Network is available for speakers of all levels. We have an affiliate program that people can then refer their database, whether it's one person or send it out to all the email addresses. Then they could get commissions based on people signing up to become members of the International Speaker Network. That way it's not all on me. So that was another way. And it sounds easy. It's not easy. There's things behind the scenes, have to get everything set up and manage that. But once you have it in place, then it's in place. And so that was a goal of mine for a long time. We created that a couple of years ago.
Let's say somebody calls you and says, can you give me a reference? Can you give me a name and number of a past client? Maybe a video of references like you would put maybe on your website.
I have testimonials all over my website on different programs and pages. So I don't usually get that question because usually the website has already spoken for itself. I did have a gentleman ask me if I was an AI or was I a real person, even though we had met on Zoom. Valid question these days. And I said, I'm real. I'm a real person. And he was really skeptical because he had gotten burned in the past. And when he finally decided, okay, she's real, she's legit. It's funny, I use a certain system where we can talk back and forth really easily at any time. And he leaves me these messages. You are blowing my mind. He goes, you have delivered way beyond what I ever even imagined you could do. My expectations are well exceeded. And I just thank him for those very kind words.
We talked about verbal referrals. Would you be willing to do that for your business?
If you said, I want to talk to one of your clients, would you be willing to have them them. If that's what you want and that's what you need, I would confirm with my client that it's okay to give their information and would they be willing to talk to you. I like to be really confidential with my clients as well. So I would never share their information because actually right. speaker coaches also hire me. Some well-known right. industry people hire me. And so I don't want to tell people that they're my clients unless it's okay with them.
I was just curious. So strategy and differentiation. You say speakers need a talk ready to rock. Can you break that down for someone just getting started?
A lot of times people say they want to be a speaker, but then the very next question they're going to get asked is, oh, what do you speak about? And to me, when you have your talk ready to rock, it means your brilliance has been born. You're not making some talk that sounds like everybody else's. It's not generic. It's something that really comes from your soul, from your experience, from your perspective. And it also is going to give a ton of value. You're going to be in love with it. And it's going to help feed your business in the sense of, oh, that call to action to the next step, which would make sense for people. They can take that step without sounding salesy. So it's like all these things in one. And we break it down to where there are some main components that a meeting planner is going to need if you are getting booked to speak. And they will ask you for, number one, your title. That seems obvious, but just in case, we have to have a title. Number two, the description of your talk. And number three, what is the audience going to learn, or AKA the learning points of your talk? These are not things you want to create the night before or even the week before, honestly. These are things you want to be really clear on. This is exactly what I'm going to be speaking on. This is what's going to be really valuable. And you're not trying to guess it or piece it together or make it match a title that doesn't really fit what you're talking about. So when I work with people on what I call Get Your Talk Ready to Rock, it's that. It's let's figure out your call to action, your title, your description, and your learning points, and make it in your style, your voice, so you're in love with it, and you can move forward easily. If nobody hears your talk, it's not going to matter how brilliant it is. So that's what I call the getting your talk to rock is to me the base camp of the journey. A lot of times people think that's all they need. Oh, I just need a talk and maybe I need a list of magical unicorn places that I could speak. And it's no, we need to get super clear on what your talk is, what your offer is, and then who needs to hear it. And then how do you get booked on those stages?
There's a whole process to it. What makes your mentorship style different from other speaker coaches out
there? I did spend 8 years working for a personal development company, leading probably 30 different weekend workshops, helping people uncover their limiting beliefs and such like that. I grew up with my dad as a hypnotherapist. I'm no stranger to personal growth and all different kinds of tools that we can use to help us be better. What I do find really helpful for my clients is letting them borrow my confidence in them. Like sometimes I think our light can dim a little bit or we can start to doubt ourselves. If I'm helping you with your talk, Debbie, and it sounds really generic or you're not feeling it, I'm going to notice and I'm going to say, you don't really seem excited about this talk, but you were excited when you talked about this other. Should we be looking over there? So I'm not just listening to your words. I'm listening to your feelings. I'm watching your nonverbals to see like, where are we at? We want to get that goosebump level, like excitement about whatever your message is, because I can't be on stage with you. You're going to be doing it. And if you're not excited about it, and I don't mean excited like you have to have jazz hands, I'm just saying internally, you want to be on fire about your topic, then it's not really going to work. So I'm really honest with people, but in a gentle way. And I listen so that their brilliance can come out. Typically, people come to me and they already know they want to be a speaker. They just don't know how to get started or what they should do. How does it work? They need the lay of the land. Sometimes I have people who are more advanced speakers. They just don't have a system. And sometimes I've had people who've never done it before, but just have a message that they feel strongly about needs to get out there to people. So wherever they are, I just meet them wherever they are and we move forward from there.
So your mindset is that you're able to develop anybody, no matter what stage they're at, whether they are at the very bottom or they just need a little bit of polishing. So your way of coaching is very advanced. It's very detailed because you're able to be successful coaching anybody at any stage in their life or where they want to be coached.
As long as they're willing and they say to me, I want to be a speaker. I work largely with entrepreneurs who are using speaking to grow their business. So if they just wanted to go speak for the fun of it it or for no reason, just to get in front of a stage, that's probably not going to be my ideal client. That would be go to a Toastmasters or something like that and learn how to give a speech. I mean, that's not what I'm going to be helping people with. I'm helping entrepreneurs who I've got, for example, like a coaching program. I've got this XYZ coaching program or service that takes a little bit of relationship built so that people can come to me. Because a lot of times what happens with coaches, and you probably know people like this, where, you know, oh, yay, I've got my coaching certification, my coaching business, my thing. And you're like, okay, clients, come on in. I'm ready to coach you. And you're going to run out of friends eventually. So how do you keep that going and attract the people who are attracted to your style, to your humor, to your cadence, to your speed, whatever that is? Because there's someone for everyone. We don't have to be the solution for every single person, but we want to work with the people that we know are really excited about working with us.
That's why I was asking, because there's all different people, there's all different situations, but some people, especially coaches or even doctors or attorneys or whatever, they cater to a specific type of person, maybe in a of their life or whatever. But in my experience, it depends on the coaches too, right? So for me to coach just anybody, it takes a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge and know-how and able to know what to do in certain situations, different things like that.
And we do a speaker readiness assessment. So I have an idea of what experience they have, if they have any, what services they provide, if they provide any, where are they at in that stage? And also, what are they hoping to get? Or what's the holes in the boat? Like, why are you not, if you're doing all this stuff, how come you're not there yet? What's going on that you haven't achieved the result that you want? So we'll talk about that. And not everybody who does the assessment is a fit for me. So we'll figure out, like, through that process, okay, you maybe just need a tweak here, tweak there, or a different referral service, and I'll refer out someone if it's going to be a better fit for them. Or I'll say, actually, you're in an ideal state. I can actually see really clearly how we can position you and take what your brilliance is into a talk, figure out your ideal audiences, and create a system to where you're getting booked on a regular basis.
So next question is, what makes your mentorship style different from other speaker coaches out there? What daily habits or systems help you stay consistent in booking speaking gigs or staying visible?
I think this consistency to me is one of the most exciting things about being a business, yet I find it not talked about very often, right? Like, it's the unsexy side of entrepreneurialism, but to me, it is very sexy because consistency will help you forever. And it is one of my strengths. For those listeners out there who don't know what that is, nowadays, it's pretty much a software. I'm not married to any one of them, but it's to help you keep track of all your leads, your prospects, your tasks, things like that. So if you have a bunch of post-its hanging around reminding you of everything, that's not a great system. So one of the things that I do to stay consistent is I always check my CRM. If it's a work day, I will go in and I will look at the tasks that I have set for that day and I will complete those tasks and then close shop and come back tomorrow. That's one thing that I do.
So that's always good to be consistent. And that to me will never fail, because if I have a consistent system. I call it a system because that's how I do it, because there's consistency in the system, right?
Yeah. So if you don't use it, it could be the best system in the whole wide world and it's not going to do any good. So you got to find the system that's going to work for you to be consistent.
Exactly. Okay. So the next question is, how do you manage energy between showing up as a speaker and staying grounded in your personal life?
That's really easy for me. Most of my working adult life, I was hustling. There was a point where I was a single mom and my commute was like 45 minutes and scrambling to get her from daycare and things like that. I've really worked very hard in my life. And so now as an entrepreneur with having my own hours and being in control of my schedule, to me, I feel more grounded and more free than I've ever felt in my professional life. And I block off Mondays and Fridays so nobody can book on my calendar unless I decide that I would like to carve out that time, which leaves me plenty of time to catch up if need be, or do special projects, or just completely take the whole day off and go have lunch with a friend. No one can book anything past 5 o'clock. No one can book anything before 10 o'clock. So I pretty much work 3 days a week from 10 to 5. And yes, I do a little bit outside that, but if I didn't block it off, it would just get filled. So I try to keep that sacred.
I have clients in other countries and I know people in various countries and they don't work on the weekend. They don't like to be contacted on the weekend. They just don't work, period, on the weekend. And I'm like, I don't don't know. I just think that maybe the United States is just money hungry.
I think it's very easy to get bought into the hustle culture and struggle, hustle, work really hard. And there's always something wanting your attention or telling you as an entrepreneur, you need to do this or you're not doing that. So you need to start doing this and add this and do this. And it can be very seductive, especially if you're in a vulnerable spot. You're like, oh my gosh, I was in a mastermind with somebody earlier today and she added TikTok to her long list of things she was doing. And she just kept adding activities and wasn't seeing the needle move. I'm like, let's strip all that back, get down to what has actually brought you business. And then now redirect your focus to that area instead of all these other things that you think you should be doing.
It's the quality as opposed to the quantity. People influence other people, whether it's negative or positive. I might have a friend who's an entrepreneur, right? And he might be more successful than me. Maybe he's at six figures and I'm not. And I want to be like him. So I'll ask him what to do. But we're in different industries. So what would work for him might not work for me. Maybe some things will work and some things wouldn't. And also there's a funny little thing called peer pressure. So they might say, why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? If I'm having a conversation with somebody and I tell them that I want to be at six figures or I like something they do or whatever, now they're telling me things to try, different things like that, right? And then I might just go do it just because they said so. So in a way, they're pressuring me. They don't mean to do that. That wasn't their goal, but they are. So if somebody comes to you like that, how would you handle a situation like that just generally?
I'm pretty clean and clear on what I like and what I don't like, and also open-minded to learn. So there's this balance of having a growth mindset, but also not getting seduced by more busy things. And so I have what I would call like a slippery seduction slope, right? Where there's an organization that has an opportunity for me to speak at, but you need to be a member. This is one I'm currently considering. I love community. I love speaking. And the price point's really fair. It'd be a good opportunity. But I decided not to make a decision right away because I thought, even though it'd be once a month, is that taking on more than I really am going to want to do? Attaching myself to another community because I run my own community. And then I have two other communities that I participate in heavily. So that's a decision. It's not that there's anything wrong with that community, and it would probably give me more business, but I don't want to make a split decision. I want to really evaluate my whole life and go, does this fit in? And I've been talking to a few other people who are in the community. I'm like, what do you think? What's your opinion of it? How do you recommend this for me? So I'm just right now gathering information, and I'm consciously not deciding until I feel that it's aligned.
Okay, that was a good one. I agree with that. And that's one of my specialties also when I help people, because it has to all make sense. It has to all fit, like all the pieces fit like a puzzle. And if it doesn't, then something can go wrong and then you're going to ruin the whole entire thing. If I'm making a pie, I need to have all the ingredients. And if I omit an ingredient or there's one that I forgot, I don't want to go to the store because I'm in the middle of making the pie. And then I just say, oh, I don't need it. It's no big deal. I'll just put in the pie like that. What's going to happen to the pie? So I need to make sure that I have all of these things. And one of the reasons why I do these shows and the six-figure shift show, the one that I'm doing now, is just to help people to see that it doesn't have to be somebody who wants to get a speaking gig. It doesn't have to be another coach. If there's a listener that can identify with anything that we've said, right, you can pull a sentence out of this whole podcast. And if you can identify with that, think about what is the reason why you're identifying and where can that take you? Can that take you to a jump start or a leap, maybe to advance their career, right? Or whatever, something that's going to change their mind or their mindset or just shift it into another way of thinking, just even for something like that really makes a big difference, right? This is one of the reasons why I do this. Because the six-figure shift show is about people who make six figures, but I also have other people on here, right? I might have a solo entrepreneur or like a medium-sized company, all different companies, right? That's why it's called shift. So that way I can include everybody. I get the most industries, the most people, the most ideas, and that way I get the most exposure as much as I could possibly get, right? And when I do that, there's more of an opportunity for somebody to identify in something, right? That's the thing. And the goal is just to help people, right? We're on this and you're talking. And this is all about helping people. Maybe somebody wants to do speaking. Maybe somebody never thought about something that you said that might have opened their eyes and said, I never realized this. This relates to something that I've done. Maybe I want to try it. And this sounds very interesting, right? So we're talking, we're explaining. There's a lot of things here that really makes a lot of sense.
I have a client right now who has been dreaming of speaking for her whole life, pretty much since she was a child, and she's in her 70s. And if I don't do this now, like, when am I going to finally do it? And she has a full-time job and she has a coaching certification because the job she has is not her ideal job. It's a career, but something she wants to do. And so she's starting. And I'm like, that's awesome. You got to start somewhere. And it's never too late.
Exactly. It just depends on if you want to do it and when, you know, and that's it. Okay. Last two questions, and then we'll have a little closing. What's the number one secret to getting a steady stream of referrals?
One thing that I figured early on was hanging around other speakers is a great way to stay consistently booked. So hence why I started 6 months into speaking, which is, this is back in 2013, I started a group for speakers, a network for speakers, now called the International Speaker Network. So that's like the first layer, is just hang around other people who are playing the same game as you, because guess what? They have the connections to all the places that they've spoken. And if you make a relationship with them, they will probably introduce you to that connection. Now, there's another layer to this that makes it even more juicy. And that's what I call having a speaker soulmate. A lot of times in business, we think of having strategic partners, referral partners, things like that, networking partners, when we talk about our network. But really, if you think about the thousands of people that you have in your network with social media, now we all have like more than 300, which used to be the norm. There's only a small percentage of those people who are actually referring you. And even out of that percentage, there's a smaller percentage that are referring you a lot. And that's what I would call my speaker soulmate. That person speaks at a similar frequency as you, someone you know and trust. Doesn't mean you need to know them for a long time, but you develop a trusting relationship. And they speak to a similar audience, but they are not speaking about the same thing as you. That makes it really easy to refer back and forth. So if you have a few of those, and I'm just talking a handful, less than five, you could literally be booked for speaking for the rest of your career without ever having to cold call, cold email, or reach out to cold lists. How do I know? Because I've been doing that for over 10 years. It still works, even through the pandemic and after the pandemic.
The referrals, I think, are very important because not only, like you said, they build trust. One person tells another person. So if somebody's worked with you and they've gotten good results, right, then that's an easy referral. And that's word of mouth. And that's the best advertisement. I know people that own businesses that don't advertise. The whole business is word of mouth. And they have tons of it. And it's just amazing to me. And not only that, it's free advertising. So like I asked them, how'd you like my work? And they say, oh, yeah, it was great. You changed my life and all this stuff. And then I say, if you want to refer, there's no pressure around because it's more about helping people for me, right? So if you have somebody who's struggling or whatever the situation and you think that I can help them and you refer them and then they'll have a few sessions or whatever the agreement is that we make, then I'll give you a little finder's fee or a little commission for their first session or whatever. And that kind of gets them motivated because with my business, some people don't always want to come forward. They want the help and all these different things, right? Some people do, but a lot of people don't. So if they know somebody, a friend or a family member, and they already have that trust built up with them, then it's a lot easier. And then giving them a little bit of commission or finder's fee is a little bit of a motivation just to mention it. Could be a different business than you have, might be similar.
I do different things. Like I'll do referral fees for certain people because we've talked about it and we have similar clients that might need both services, send a referral fee. But we also have the affiliate program too, which is for our other programs. And that's all automated and set up. So if someone refers and then somebody buys something, they get an automatic payment. So that takes me out of the equation, which is lovely because then it all just works automatically.
Very good. Okay. Last one is if you could leave our listeners with one key takeaway about using speaking to shift their business, what would it be?
Wow. Just take a piece of paper right now. Write down, what would you tell people? What do you wish everybody would know about your business? Or what's one of the problems that you solve all the time for people Because guess what? There's more people out there who have that problem. And they probably would really like a solution to that problem, but they just don't know what you do or who you are or where to find you. And when you are speaking, you're able to reach many instead of just one. And all of a sudden, it helps to grow your business faster, easier, and it feels really good because you're offering valuable solutions to people. So to me, it's a feel-good drug without taking any drugs.
Very nice. I like that. Key takeaway is good, but what about looking at the whole picture? And this is not a question for you. I'm just saying for a listener or maybe a thinking question, right? About looking at the whole picture, you could answer too, but about what do I want to speak about and why and where is that going to take me? The whole picture, a wide range kind of thing.
I can even give a really cool example. Let's say 100%. You have a program or service of $1,000 or more. Most coaches at this point, not that everyone on the call is a coach, but a lot of people have a service or product of $1,000 plus. But to keep it math simple, we say, okay, $1,000. And let's say you speak just even locally or virtually. It doesn't need to be this big, flashy 1,000-people stage. It could be a local group and you have a talk or some knowledge that's going to be helpful for them. Let's say you speak a couple times a month, right? Which virtually now there's so many groups you can speak virtually without even leaving your house. Most of my clients speak a couple times a month. And even if you just got one client who spent that $1,000 at each talk, we're adding $24,000 to your revenue, right? I'm not talking about repeat business or maybe you charge more than $1,000 or maybe you get more than one client, right? So if you get two clients, now we're at $48,000, but you haven't actually done any extra work to market and get those sales. So when we think about it that way, we're like, oh, hey, okay, now wait a second. You don't need a fancy funnel or a lot of high-tech stuff. This is you showing up, giving knowledge, teaching people what you already know in a way that's bite-sized that they could take it in. And that can be a game changer. If your product or service is $5,000 or more, that same 24 talks yields you that six-figure income. So we talk about flipping the switch. You're like, wait a second. That could be a major game changer for many people who are just scrambling and trying to figure out how do I get this six-figure. Literally could just be right under your nose. It could be.
So there's statistics that, and you could look it up, anybody could look it up, that if let's say, for example, I do a speaking gig for 300 people. There's a statistic that I will a certain amount of inquiries, a certain amount of people who are interested, and that will equal a certain amount of clients just based on the number of people that are in the room, the size, right? How long the lecture is, the things I say, different things like that. So there's all kinds of statistics out there like that. And the reason for the statistics is that these are studies. These are already proven, right? However, they're proven, right, in all different ways. But this is something solid, something that I could really go by. Whether it's going to work for me or not is a different story. But
yeah,
it's something solid that I could at least try.
I don't get too in the weeds with all those numbers because what happens is that in someone's mind, they instantly think, but I've never done this before and I don't know. Then you start, not you, but it's really easy to start doubting ourselves and making it more complicated than it needs to be. So if we back it out, and I'll even share a story real quick. My very first talk that I gave for this company when I first started speaking over 10 years ago, I called up a gal who I knew. Do you know anyone who is inviting outside speakers to come speak in any event? And she's actually, I have an event that I need a speaker at. I have a small group of people, business owners. Would you like to, and my topic fit her group. So we talked about that and great. She invited me to come in. 10 people. That's it. 10 people in this little conference room. That's it. I didn't have a PowerPoint, no computer, no microphone, nothing. I had an easel and I had flyers like with the workshop and it was $300 and give the talk, give the offer, pass the piece of paper out. People put their credit card information on there. I got three clients. So now we're at $900. Just my very first talk ever. And then those three women ended up spending tens of thousands of dollars at that company. So when I say it doesn't have to be rocket science, but you need to have a plan. And don't get too worried about how many people, but if you're in the right room with the right message, with the right offer, you've done your homework, you've practiced, I just don't see how you could fail.
See, the thing is, I don't believe in luck. I think there's a system to it. And if I do it a certain way, then it will succeed. But the thing is, I need to know how I do it. I could go online and look at statistics and all these different things and get all of this information. But what am I going to do with this information?
Right.
The idea is to get a coach or a mentor or an advisor. And today,
create a plan.
And then I could take all that information, bring it to somebody and say, is this something that's going to work for me? Because I know a lot of people that do, where they just go on the internet and they just go crazy with all different terms and what should I do? And then it just becomes addictive at a certain point.
And we don't want to get stuck with information overload. We want to get really clear. What is it that I'm giving? And the nice thing with AI is you're a human. So that's what we have going for us. You're a human, and humans, there's a lot of humans who still want to connect with humans. And that's okay, right? Like, we like humans. And then there's times we're going to use the AI for that too. It's all good. There's room for everybody. Your brilliance, your special sauce, your uniqueness is something that can translate to other humans. And your care for them, your honesty and your integrity and your energy, those are things that are going to translate to other
humans. The AI can take our personality, our behavior, different things like that. It can't take that. That's why I think podcasting is very good. I could use AI for a script, but it doesn't really have anything to do with AI because we're just having a conversation, right? I asked you some questions that weren't on the script, so it just flowed with the conversation and things. So would you like to say anything in closing?
Yeah, if people would like more tips on how to get speaking gigs, they can go to getspeakinggigsnow.com/tips. So that's getspeakinggigsnow.com/tips. 5 top tips to get more speaking gigs now.
Perfect. And then thank you very much. I'll have the information also on the podcast and in a few other places also. The last thing that I wanted to say was thank you for being on the show. I really appreciate it. And your insight was very good. I hope somebody could get something out of it. If they're interested in anything in my services and Lisa's services, the object is just to pick up the phone or write an email or whatever we do today. Just take that first step. You're not married to us. It might not work. So thank you for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Debbie. I really appreciate you too.
Thanks.